views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to the hit show Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you struggling with loss? Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Beyond Proof Radio is a space that explores beyond current self-limiting beliefs surrounding loss, offering radical healing, which will come from the least likely of places. Join Angie on her journey, which includes science, medicine, and spirituality, proving that the body is merely a shell of our soul. It's possible to create an amazing life from the depths of pain. It's your life. It's your choice. Now, here's your host.
Welcome, my beautiful listeners. Today, I am just so honored, and it is absolutely my privilege to have one of the most amazing men that I have had the opportunity to meet. His name is Dr. Eben Alexander. He's a New York Times bestseller of Proof of Heaven. He has written a book also called Map of Heaven, and just now co-authored, or was the author, and had a beautiful co-author we had on a couple Mondays ago with the lovely Karen Newell, Living in a Mindful Universe. And today I welcome Dr. Eben Alexander, neurosurgeon, the best schools in the world for medicine. He focused on neuroendocrinology, interactions between the nervous system. He operated on countless patients, severe life-threatening brain conditions. And it was when he had his own near-death experience in a coma, his neocortex, which he will explain to us, was completely gone, that this man had the most amazing journey. So today I welcome you, Dr. Eben Alexander. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, Angie, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yes, and I'm just thrilled. Coming from a medical background, a very scientific background, my dad being an organic chemist and all of this, it is so difficult for science to believe in like a spirituality, but you're here to tell us it's possible and it actually happened to you.
Well, not only possible, the only way I see forward for both the scientific community and the spiritual community is to acknowledge how they're both crucial to each other. We can't keep pretending this, and that's one of the reasons why the physics community has been so befuddled over quantum physics for the last century, really, is they really don't know where to go with it. And the place to go with it is to put consciousness as first. That's exactly what the founding fathers of quantum physics tried to tell us. So it's really much about understanding the nature of reality, which, of course, science is supposed to be all about. But they've had great difficulty just because of the deep spiritual nature of all this. And that's what quantum physics was trying to tell them. So now it's trying to work it into the models.
Yes, and it's interesting, and I'd like you to share with my audience, and Dr. Alexander, is it okay to call you Eben?
Sure, that's fine.
Perfect. Okay, coming from the background that you did, the Harvards, the Dukes, the actually operating on people's brains, can you tell us the difference, tell my audience, the difference between the brain and consciousness? Because there was a time you believed that the brain created consciousness, correct?
Well, that's kind of a cornerstone of our conventional scientific thinking. I mean, the general kind of metaphysical position is called physicalism, which is the notion that only the physical world exists. And that, of course, is where we've kind of gotten into a trap. And it's a position that I had pretty much bought into through my 54 years of life before coma. I had spent 15 years at Harvard Medical School. I was involved in a lot of projects involving the brain and mind, and thought I had some understanding of consciousness. And of course, the general idea in conventional science is that somehow if the physical world is all that exists, then you've got to explain consciousness as being derived from the physical material of the brain. And the problem is that argument keeps running into problems, and there are big pieces of evidence that it is not the case at all. And yet, I like many materialist scientists, subscribed to that physicalist view and thought, well, we just need to do more homework to understand it. But it turns out that the answer is far deeper than that. And we have to go far beyond just the recognition that we can't connect the dots to somehow explain consciousness based on everything we know about the brain. So we really have to broaden our kind of theater of inquiry to a much bigger set of possible explanations. And that's where we start to actually run into worldviews that actually work, but they work by putting consciousness as fundamental and not as looking at the brain as the producer of consciousness, but more as a filter, reducing valve that limits primordial consciousness down to this tiny little trickle of an apparent here and now and of this notion of self that we all take to be our reality as human beings that are experiencing consciousness. And yet it goes very deep when you're trying to explain that relationship between brain and mind. And that's where my 9-year journey since coma has become so incredibly interesting. And I've also come to realize that my journey of discovery, trying to explain my own personal experience, is a journey that also faces the whole modern scientific world in terms of trying to understand the relationship between brain and mind. And once you realize just how important that notion of consciousness is, then you realize that really consciousness is the only thing that we've ever experienced, and therefore we better come to a better explanation of it. So I would say that this has really been a beautiful journey of discovery. And this third book, Living in a Mindful Universe, the one that's co-authored with my life partner, Karen Newell, goes much further towards any kind of answers than the first two books. Proof of Heaven was really more of a question mark, saying, yes, these extraordinary experiences are real. They cannot be explained by our simplistic and false materialist science. But how then do we explain them? Map of Heaven was just to really show the incredible breadth of this kind of experience throughout humanity in the current era, and that we really have to explain these things that cannot be explained through materialist science. And now, of course, Living in a Mindful Universe goes all those extra steps towards putting the whole journey that modern science is going through today of awakening to the reality of primordial consciousness. But also, Living in a Mindful Universe is a beautiful gift to the individual journeyer, for the seeker out there who wants to know more about the nature of reality and how they can relate to it. And that's what I think is the most important thing about Living in a Mindful Universe, is that it brings every sentient being along on this incredible journey of awakening.
That was beautifully said, and I'm looking so forward, and to you all, my beautiful listeners, Dr. Eben Alexander and Karen Newell will be coming on a separate show where we will discuss consciousness and living in a mindful universe. And so, Dr. Alexander, I do have a question for you, and that is, when you had this experience, and I do want you at the next segment, I do want you to just maybe, because it is only an hour show, give us an example of, you know, or tell us a little bit about that journey that you took when your brain was completely dead. And my question is, if more people knew about this other side and they would start looking at the other side, doesn't it seem that it makes life so much more enjoyable? And I mean, I would kind of, because you're not afraid to die.
Well, and not only that, but I think far more important, something else that I realized from my journey, but didn't realize the strong scientific backing behind it all until, you know, I did more reading, is the notion of reincarnation. you know, as much as that is not part of what's built into our kind of dominant system here in the United States, especially with Christianity and its dominant role, and yet reincarnation is absolutely a crucial part of understanding any of this. Most major religions certainly support that. And in fact, I would say it's absolutely consistent with original Christianity, but it was written into the laws of Orthodoxy several centuries later to enhance the control of the church over people through this notion of one incarnation. And yet the evidence for reincarnation is very strong. The scientific evidence at University of Virginia Division of Perceptual Studies, over 50 years, they've studied more than 2,700 cases of past life memories in children, where the most ready explanation is actually of reincarnation. So until we build that kind of really big feature into our notions of consciousness and the nature of reality, we aren't doing a very good job of explaining how this is so important for all of our lives, because we come back again and again in this process of evolution of consciousness and ascending towards oneness with that divine power.
You know what? And you hit the nail on the head. Coming from a very, very Catholic background of almost 34 years, and I call it, you know, we are the only living and dying death with cell phones and everything, any technology. We are the only things on this planet that are punished for its evolution.
Right.
And it's interesting that you say the reincarnation, because it is what has helped heal. For those listeners who may just be tuning in, my son took his life at the age of 20, and my shiny, brand new, sparkly husband of only a week took his life a year later. And Eben, I find it interesting that it takes somebody to be completely leveled. And that's where I think this consciousness thing has to go, is why do we feel we have to be completely leveled in order for us to seek another truth?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm missing what you're saying about leveled.
Okay. Oh, and you know what? I'm looking at the clock too. We've got 1 minute. So no, I was just saying completely leveled in the sense that we have to either, for your instance, had to go through a near-death experience. For me, I had to go through the death of two people that I absolutely treasured. And when I talk to people about reincarnation and I talk to them about the possibility of life after life, like Raymond Moody would say, it's almost as if people have to have somebody die, or they have to be close to death. And when we come back, I'd like you to maybe share, how do we come to this level of consciousness without having to go through our own experiences? And we can all start talking about death.
Right. Well, I think that's a very beautiful point. It's amazing the kind of price that we have to pay for some of these lessons, but that's just what you pay. But you get out of it everything you put into it.
Thank you. And when we come back, the beautiful Eben Alexander. Thank you.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E-learners.com.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. Today, I've got the beautiful Dr. Eben Alexander, author of the New York Times bestseller, Proof of Heaven, Map of Heaven, and his latest creation, Living in a Mindful Universe. And in a way, Eben, they all kind of intermingle, but I love how when you start with Proof of Heaven, like you had said earlier, it was the question, we're like, what the heck just happened? And then I love how the scientific part of your mind, or do I say brain, your scientific part, kind of takes us down how you're able to actually prove the existence of another side and prove in a reincarnation.
Well, it all, you know, started back in November 10th of 2008 when I was driven into coma at age 54. And I woke up at 4:30 in the morning with severe back pain. Soon thereafter, realized I had a horrific headache. And then literally within about the next 2 hours or so, I was driven deep into coma. And my family called 911. I was taken off to the Lynchburg General Hospital emergency room. And, of course, I remember nothing of the next week. I was far gone from this world long before I was even taken to the hospital. And so much of the story that's told in Proof of Heaven, I had to glean from others because, in fact, my NDE was so profound and the coma was so severe that all of my memories of my life before coma were completely deleted as I was in this spiritual journey. So that makes it a little atypical for most near-death experiences. My brain was so savaged by the infection, my neocortex especially, the human part of the brain, where before I would have told you that that's the part of the brain that's most essential for consciousness, most essential for memory, everything else that modern neuroscience believes it knows about the neocortex. But mine was offline. My doctors knew that from my neurologic exams, from my lab values, from my scans. They knew that all 8 lobes of my brain were affected. And so I spent that week deep in coma. Now, in fact, when I came back out of it, my brain was so wrecked that I didn't even recognize loved ones at the bedside, like my mother, my sisters, my sons. I had no idea who they were. All I knew when I came back to the living world that Sunday morning on the 7th day of coma was where I had just been. That's the extraordinary spiritual journey that I describe in Proof of Heaven. It turns out words and language came back very rapidly after I started to wake up. They literally returned over a few hours and days. My childhood memories came back over a few weeks. All of my semantic knowledge, more than 25 years spent as an academic neurosurgeon, All of that knowledge came back over about 8 weeks. And to this day, my doctors would tell you that's absolutely inexplicable. They have no idea how I could have such a complete loss of memories of my personal life, including any knowledge of humans and Earth, and language and all my personal memories, and yet have every bit of it come back to a point where I soon discovered that it was more complete than it had been before my coma. Now, the deep coma journey, of course, what I did know when I came back to this world was where I'd been, that spiritual journey that began in the earthworm's eye view, a very primitive, coarse, unresponsive realm. I have memory of roots or blood vessels all around me. And even though I had no memories of my life before, I could still be curious and wonder where, who, what. And yet there was never a flicker of response to any of that in that earthworm eye view realm, that primitive coarse realm where it all started, which I originally thought was the best consciousness my brain could muster when my neocortex was being destroyed by a bacterial meningoencephalitis. But it turns out I was rescued from that earthworm eye view realm because there came a slowly spinning white light that had fine silvery and golden tendrils off of it. As it came towards me, it was packaged with a perfect musical melody. And that opened like a rip in the fabric of that ugly earthworm eye view realm and led up into this brilliant ultra-real valley. And that's a realm that I call the Gateway Valley. That's very earth-like and yet very perfect. It's a world of forms, kind of like Plato's world of ideals. But it's a world of personal perfection, so that it's where we reunite with our higher soul when we leave the physical body at the end of this incarnation, and where we also meet up with the souls of departed loved ones in that beautiful Gateway Valley. It was very lush with lots of life, plant life, blossoms, buds on trees, blossoms on trees, blooming. There were souls that were dressed like peasants, as I described them, dancing below us by the thousands in this meadow. Lots of joy and merriment. And I was witnessing it all because I was a speck of awareness on a butterfly wing among millions of butterflies, colors beyond the rainbow. And we were looping and spiraling in these vast formations. And all of the joy and festivities of these butterflies and all this lush plant life and waterfalls into sparkling pools and all the dancing souls, all of that was being fueled because up above were these swooping orbs of gold, leaving sparkling golden trails against a blue-black velvety sky. And those swooping orbs I came to call angelic choirs. They were emanating chants and anthems and hymns that would just thunder through me, this incredible, awesome majesty of presentation of that loving life force in that realm. And I was starting from an empty slate, as I said earlier. All my memories, for like religious thoughts, all my scientific knowledge, etc., had been deleted. And that empty slate is what gave me such a beautiful kind of tapestry of experience there. And the best part about it all was I wasn't alone on that butterfly wing. There was a beautiful girl beside me. And I remember this soft breeze that blew through when I recognized her. And that breeze was my first knowledge of that divine, of the breath of God, or that divine wind that was permeating everything of that scene. And I came to realize that force of divine power and love basically generated every bit of all realms, from the very lowest sub-spiritual realms all the way up through the material realms, our four-dimensional space-time, and then a whole different ordering of spiritual realms in that Gateway Valley. Every bit of that was fueled by that beautiful, loving breeze that blew through. And I remember the girl in the butterfly wing, who was essential to my later understanding the reality of the story. But at this point, when it was unfolding, she was a deep mystery. But her message to me was very central as a message of proof of heaven and message to the world. And that is, you are deeply loved and cherished forever. You will be taken care of. You have nothing to fear. These very deep and profound messages were delivered telepathically from this beautiful girl on the butterfly wing, dressed in the same kind of simple peasant garb as all the souls between lives dancing below. And yet looking at me with those sparkling blue eyes and high cheekbones, high forehead, broad smile, never saying a word, but those thoughts came into my awareness, gave me great comfort. And in fact, that's when those beautiful angelic choirs, the swooping angelic orbs up above, provided yet another portal to higher and higher levels. And I saw that whole spiritual realm, the Gateway Valley, collapsing down just with everything else in this complex oversphere of higher dimensional multiverse and all of eternity, all the way out to what I experienced as the core, infinite inky blackness, but filled to overflowing with the infinite healing power of that divine loving source, that God force that so many have described on these journeys, near-death experiencers over thousands of years, all describing the same incredible loving force. That's why near-death experiencers today have no fear of death. Because they have experienced that incredible love and bound with that love, not as something separate. That's one of the other big mistakes of our religion, is to paint our conscious awareness as separate from that God, whereas in fact, in those realms and those journeys, especially getting to that core realm, the infinite oneness, which is much better described as like the event horizon of a black hole, where at once you identify with that godlike force of pure love and the entire creative source of the entire universe throughout all of eternity, and in the next instant you see how it's starting to parcelate into this incredibly rich world, all the facets of the diamond that are here for the soul school that we're here to experience. So it was an incredible journey of things far beyond anything I ever could have imagined before. And yet when I started reading the NDE literature, when I got back to this world and wrote down all of my experience, which my son advised me to do as a neuroscience major, he knew if it was going to be at all important, I needed to record everything that had happened before I read anybody else's near-death experience. So I wrote about 20,000 words, and only then did I start getting deeply into reading hundreds and then thousands of similar accounts, both in books and on the internet, and finding the similarities far outweigh the differences, and similarities that completely defy our religious belief systems and our prejudices going in, because these journeys are very real, and they're not just dictated by the contents of our belief systems, but they're populated by the reality of our soul's journey to these realms. And that was the big shock of all of this, is the ultra reality of this incredible journey when my neocortex was being completely wiped out. So neuroscience would tell you none of this could have happened, because all eight lobes of my brain were so impacted by the meningoencephalitis, there's no way I could have a hallucination, dream, or drug effect. And yet I had this extraordinary ultra reality. And that's the part that is so shocking and basically proved to me consciousness is not created by the brain at all. We're conscious in spite of our brain. So it was a tremendous gift all around.
Oh, and we're not going to give away the surprise of that beautiful butterfly that that guided you around into the astral realms, if you will. We're coming up on break in about a minute. Eben, thank you so much for that. And when we come back, I do want to touch base on you were not a religious person before this happened, correct?
Well, I had spent my life in a Methodist church and then an Episcopal church, but 8 years before my coma, due to events that I describe in Proof of Heaven, I became staunchly agnostic.
Yep, I
so
love that.
And I had no belief in God or prayer or anything.
When we come back, you guys, you two can have this amazing journey and not have to die.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan, the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. I'm on with the wonderful Eben Alexander, neurosurgeon, near-death experience, and is here, and his purpose on this earth is to teach us and to show us of that there is this incredible possibility of life after life. And I want to go, Eben, to chapter 17 of Proof of Heaven, because I think this is amazing. And Eben has talked about God and conscious and the duality, I guess you can say the non-duality, the duality of both. But it was very interesting. Not only was his experience amazing, but the E. coli was an ultra-resistant strain that had shown up in Israel, but it wasn't the same one, Eben, that you had, which makes it even so much more, like, if you're not going to get your story, at least you had doctors look at the strain that presented. That I thought was so funny and just so amazing.
Well, it's interesting to me, just in looking back on the whole history of that, as I said, I'd spent those 8 years as a staunch agnostic leading up to my coma, but it was just a few months before coma that I was on a trip for work that took me to two interesting places that I think potentially played into the whole odyssey that I was later to have. That was a trip working for the Focused Ultrasound Surgery Foundation, where I went to Israel. And I went to Old Jerusalem, and that was an absolutely stunning journey. I was very impressed by the whole thing, even though, as I said, I'd kind of left my religious beliefs behind. It's such a magical part of the world, and I was really taken with my trip to the Temple Mount and Calvary, and it was a very memorable experience. But the that also involved a walk through the Garden of Gethsemane, which I found to be a very profound experience. But also, the other part of that trip that manifested was to visit the Baha'i Gardens up in Haifa, Israel, up on the coast there, north of Jerusalem. And the Haifa faith was something I was not familiar with, but it is a very advanced faith that basically acknowledges the role of science in all of our understandings of matters of faith, but also looks at all religious systems as basically different voices saying the same thing. And that was something that became very clear to me after my journey, was I realized that that Christianity that I had grown up with was only the tiniest little fraction of what all was being presented to me on my NDE. That was really a more universal form of the coalescence of all great religious systems, especially their deep meditative traditions. And I came back realizing that this this deity, this incredible God force that I'd encountered, part of our confusion is we wonder whether we're to call that force when we encounter it. Should we call it God or Allah, Brahman, Vishnu, Jehovah, Yahweh, Great Spirit? You know, and all those things are very confusing because they point out how our religious orthodoxies simply muddy up the water. And that's why it's so important to go within for these answers. I think we can all go within and start developing this relationship with that primordial mind, with that God force at the core of the universe, the same force that millions of near-death experiencers over thousands of years have met and come back and tried to change this world based on. I would say all of our religious beliefs and the great prophets and mystics have all had a similar touch with that realm. But the thing is, you don't have to wait for someone else's opinion about this, and you don't have to depend on religious orthodoxies. You can go there yourself. And that's why the meditation and developing that relationship, I think, is so crucial in all of this. And that is something that I've learned to do since my coma. I've gotten much more deeply into meditation, which I try to do an hour or two a day. And it's really all about developing a relationship with that creative source of the entire universe.
Wow. Yes, and in a way, and it I haven't had a near-death experience. However, I am so on the same page that Dr. Alexander is, you guys, because I found that what I have learned and through meditation and being open to every possibility, and even going down the route scientifically of we are just a transference of energy when we are reincarnated. Eben, I find it amazing that so many people, I mean, in a way, it would seem more hopeful if people believed more in reincarnation. And even the oldest church believed in reincarnation by saying, calling it the communion of saints.
Well, I think it's important to look at the scientific data. You know, our world is a scientific world. And so when you start talking about things like reincarnation, people are going to say, okay, fine, where's the scientific data? And for that, what you do, you don't have to look any further than the University of Virginia Division of Perceptual Studies and the work of Ian Stevenson, who was the head of psychiatry at UVA back in the 60s and 70s. And more recently, his work has been carried on by Dr. Jim Tucker. At the Division of Perceptual Studies, over the last 50 years or so, they've studied more than 2,700 cases of past life memories in children, usually between the ages of 2 and 6, where further investigation and objective identification of the data confirms that the best explanation in the majority of those cases is of actual reincarnation. So that's really what we're talking about. It's not what you want to believe. We're talking about how does this world work? What is the nature of reality? And I think that's one of the most important reasons why people should pay attention to this, because the evidence is lining up very strongly over thousands of years from many, many different sources, and also bolstered by modern scientific investigation that suggests very strongly that the brain's not the creator of consciousness at all, that it really works the other way around, that consciousness creates all that emerges in this universe.
Right.
And that, in fact, the entire physical, observable physical universe is a projection out of consciousness. And this is absolutely crucial because it matters what happens when we die. And you, the world is not going to let you just follow the pathway of your beliefs. Like if you believe that the physicalist model is right and that death of the brain and body is the end of your conscious awareness, you're banking on that happening. But yep. You don't know what's going to happen. What you have to do is pay attention to the scientific study and the human experience of, you know, the millions and millions who have made that transition. And that, of course, is where this gets far more important, because what I'm saying and what many modern scientists who study consciousness are saying is that reincarnation is real and that we do come back and that this is all very important, that the choices we make in life are crucial. You can't just kind of willy-nilly act any way you want to and expect that the universe isn't going to demand at some point that you reap what you sow. It's a very just universe. That was something that was shown to me very clearly. I came to realize that not only my actions, but my very thoughts are crucial in determining my soul's pathway through all of this. And so it behooves all of us to pay attention to this modern evolution of the understanding of the mind-brain relationship, especially as it pertains to what happens when we die, because it has everything to do with understanding meaning and purpose in our life and making sure that that life review, which, you know, that old saying, your life flashes before your eyes. Well, that concept's been around for a very long time, at least 2,400 years, at least back to the time of Plato. He wrote about the life review of Armenian soldier killed in battle, who was dead for several days on the battlefield. And when he was finally laid up on a funeral pyre, he came back to life. And boy, did he have a story to tell. But that story was very important for all of us, and it's been confirmed millions of times over. Because he said, when you die, you go through a review of the most important residual lessons of your life. If you've been busy handing out pain and suffering to others, you have to feel that. You have to feel the impact of that during a life review. The interesting thing about the life review is you don't experience it as yourself. You experience it as those who were affected by your choices and thoughts and actions. And that's what's so interesting. It's a beautiful life review is a beautiful example of how the boundaries of self are artificial. Yeah. They're part of this soul school that we're all participating in. We're all here to learn and teach lessons about this kind of soul growth. And that is something that is absolutely crucial to get, that life review. If you don't want it to be horrifically painful, if you don't want it to be a sheer hell, I believe that all of our notions of hell came from very unfavorable life reviews of people who had led bad and dark lives, handing out lots of pain and suffering to others. And that certainly would not give you a life review that would be fun to go through. But it is also about realizing that the judgment doesn't come from some higher power, but the judgment is really with our higher soul. Witnessing that life review and those events in the presence of such complete and infinite light and love makes any of the glaring deficits of greed and handing out suffering to others stand out. And that's why the life review is so important. And it's a way of correcting ourselves for the next incarnation.
And I think if more people would grasp into that concept, because I've also read hundreds of stories as well, and we have about a minute, so if I cut out you guys, I apologize, but I want to get this through. Lisa Williamson wrote a book, and it was Soul Survivor, and she talks about, picture the Taj Mahal, 100 times bigger, you're in the middle, and your life review is you're having to feel what every person, when you become aware, you have to feel exactly how that person felt when you were mean, when you spoke an unkind word, when you talked behind their back. It makes me want to live differently.
Well, yes, we need to treat others as we would like to be treated. That's the oldest lesson of religious systems on earth, and it's absolutely borne out by life reviews in NDEs by the millions and millions.
Yep. Love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Introducing New Soul Science, an introductory course with Ruby Betty, offering profound wisdom alongside radically simple concepts and techniques that collapse time, allowing instantaneous personal transformation. The foundational techniques of this introductory course reveal the profound inner ability each human has to access and fulfill their individual soul script or soul promise. Awakening this ability leads to the mastery of one's destiny. The concepts are totally original, immensely powerful, and completely revolutionary. They ignite an infinite fire within each listener, fueling one's ability to live out their unique soul promise. Are you ready to become more aware and access amazing personal transformation? This course is available now at rubybetty.co.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Defining success and putting minds to work. With the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, Rudy Racine will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. Tune in every first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 Eastern. And for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E-learners.com.
Are you ready to embrace your essence and the magic of who you are? Let me, Emily Perkins, hold your hand and walk with you as we go treasure hunting for the gold that lies within you. Tune in to Love Living Radio every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit LoveLivingHolistics.com.
Welcome back, my beautiful listeners. I cannot believe we are on the last segment, and I'm bringing Dr. Alexander back for this last segment. I've had so much fun. There is a section before he tells us the butterfly. I can't wait to hear this butterfly, Dr. Alexander. But let's go back for a minute, because in a lot of these near-death experiences that the thousands that you have read about, is there always the light? Because science will say, well, of course, when you're laying on an operating table, you're going to look up and see bright lights. For you, did you see the lights, or did you see the earthworm, what you would call your lower spiritual realm? At that point,
well, you know, there were several points in this journey where brilliant, kind of indescribably natural and infinite light was very apparent. One of them was serving as a portal from that earthworm eye view. You know, I had spent what seemed to be forever in that ugly, coarse, kind of subterranean environment. And then there came this slowly spinning white light with fine, silvery, and golden tendrils off of it that came packaged with a perfect musical melody. And that light came towards me, slowly spinning, and then it opened up like a rip in the fabric of that ugly realm and led up into the brilliant ultra-real gateway valley realm that was far more real than this world, than this material world in which we live. And so I think the light is absolutely part of it. In fact, the lighting in that whole scene in that gateway valley Everything was lit by these billowing clouds of pure color. It's interesting. There were no stars in the sky. There was no sun in the sky. And that's just my journey. I'm just reporting the facts of it, but there it is. But the lighting was astonishing in how it came out of those clouds and all. And then, of course, there was yet another portal, as I said, the portal of the angelic choirs leading up into that core realm where the entire higher dimensional multiverse, including all of four-dimensional space-time and then a whole different ordering of causality in the spiritual realm that I call deep time, which completely trumps any kind of earth time in the ordering of events. But in that core realm, every bit of the higher multidimensional universe throughout all of eternity had been collapsed down into this complex oversphere as part of the lessons that I was to learn in that core realm. And of course, that deity, that God force in that core realm, the origin of all that is, the origin of our very conscious existence, I called at that point Aum, because that was the sound that I heard in that core realm of infinity, where all of the pure oneness, identity with oneness, Aum was the resonance within that eternity and infinity. So the light is absolutely part of it. There was an orb in that core realm, brighter than a million stars. These are not lights like an OR light or something trivial like that. This is far more profound, the kind of light and love. In fact, I would say that light and love are in many ways the same thing. And I came back from my journey realizing that there is not a battle between the forces of darkness and evil versus the forces of light and love, because the darkness and evil is just a lack of the light and love. So in fact, that light and love have an infinite power to heal. Unconditional love can overwhelm any of the apparent forces of darkness and evil in this world. And that's why it's so important for each of us to realize we can serve as change agents by manifesting that love, by going within and bringing that love from that core realm back out to this world, manifesting it for ourselves, and recognizing that the best way to love ourselves is through loving others. Love, because we are all really part of that one mind. And that's why to hurt another is really to hurt myself. Again, the lessons are very simple. They don't have to be complex. And it's all about oneness and love and connection. And that opens the door to so much richer understanding of our purpose and meaning in this universe.
Wow. And it's interesting, and we're going to go into this when I have you and Karen back to talk about living in a mindful universe. I do want to really, really, you guys, delve into love. For a very long time was very abstract. I love my dog. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my sons. I love my husband. But there is this, and Eben, I think you'll agree with me too, and it's very interesting to try to take love and explain what that is. And that's what I hope we can get into, living in a mindful universe, and how Karen has brought this in from a heart perspective and all of this. But when you had your, for those that are listening and those that are a little fearful, because I think the big fear for a lot of people is, oh my God, I was so horrible in this lifetime. There's no way I could ever be in the realms that Dr. Alexander was with the way I've lived my life. Can you address that? The fear of fear.
Well, yes, I think it, as Winston Churchill said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. But I think the most important lesson here is about love. And what I just said a few minutes ago, there are no forces in those spiritual realms that ultimately allow for the final victory of darkness and evil. That, from my point of view, is impossible.
Love that.
And that's why it's so important to get that when we go into those realms with love in our heart and manifesting that love for everything and realizing that we are directly connected with that infinitely loving God force at the core of the universe, it's not separate from us at all. Right. And the more we can do that, live that, know that, and experience it, and we can do that through going within, through centering prayer, through meditation, and of course, something we can talk about when we get Karen on, of course, is sacred acoustics and that kind of very profound differential frequency brain entrainment kind of meditation, which for me is always a form of very powerful and connected centering prayer that starts from a position of oneness, that we're all in this together, that there's going to be a win-win solution for all involved, and also an acknowledgement that the binding force of this consciousness throughout the universe is one of pure love without conditions. We're so used to the notion in our world, in our culture, of love that has conditions attached to it. I will love you if this and that. Whereas a far more profound form of this love is one that is loving as that creative source loves the creation. Is one way I like to put it. But it is really loving ourselves, loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, loving all of this existence. And also, as you pointed out earlier, it's not serving as the verb, you know, an act of to love. But again, something that Karen can introduce us to in the next segment is the notion of becoming that love, because that was a crucial ingredient to me. And I really don't want to get into that further until Karen is really here to explain it so beautifully as she does. But it's really becoming that love that we are. And that's the best way to express it. We adopt that love for ourselves of the creative source of the universe and then serve as a conduit for that love, bringing it into this world. And there's no question that this world will shift dramatically as more and more of us start to do that. And it doesn't take 100% participation. Really, as you get 3 and 4% of the population starting to manifest this kind of love and meditation, it starts to filter out through the community in very powerful ways. Through what Karen will discuss in our next segment is really a form of heart resonance. And we can talk more about that in the next thing. But it's really about becoming that love and sharing that love. And that's what I think my journey has shown me so clearly how to do, especially through my relationship and much of the spiritual knowledge that I've gained through my relationship with Karen Newell, my co-author on that third book, Living in a Mindful Universe.
And I cannot wait. And my beautiful listeners, we have about 3 minutes left. And yes, and there will be a program with both Dr. Eben Alexander and Karen Newell, Living in a Mindful Universe. And it's going to be so exciting because it shows how Eben's experience created, you know, or Karen's experience with sound and Eben's creation from the afterlife, if you will, and how they've combined that to create this amazing just energy. And so, Dr. Alexander, can you please tell us the butterfly? Because we have 2 minutes. I'm going to allow you to just take this out. You tell us what you think we all need to learn from you and to know. And thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I think the universe gives us what we need. All we have to do is ask for it and be open to the answer. And remember, it's not always going to come as some clean little narrative like you read in a short story. But the butterfly, the lesson for me was very beautiful. This is a little bit of a spoiler alert for those who have not read Proof of Heaven. But
do you not want to tell us? You don't have to tell us.
Well, I can give you a little lead in.
Yes.
I think the important thing for people to understand is I really, after my experience, when I came back to this world, first of all, my brain was very wrecked, as I mentioned. It took a while for it to come back. It took several months. But as it did so, I was just conflicted because all of my returning neurosurgical, neuroscientific knowledge conflicted with what had happened during my coma. As I reviewed my medical records and everything, it didn't fit together because I kept trying to say brain creates consciousness, but my brain couldn't have been around for any of this. My doctors knew that. They kept telling me that. My review of the medical records revealed that. And so, in fact, the deepest lesson was that We are conscious in spite of our brain, and consciousness is fundamental. And that all came through a beautiful guardian angel that's in the book. And of course, it was determining the identity of that beautiful angel that finishes off the book, Proof of Heaven, that knocked me to the floor. Most of my readers totally shocked by it. It's a beautiful story of awakening.
Excellent. Thank you so much for everything, Evan. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Angie. Great to be on.
Yay!
Thank you for listening to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, Redefining Death and Loss. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willingness to keep an open mind about everything that anything is possible. Tune in every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and a willingness to keep an open mind about everything that anything is possible, even in death. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit BeyondProof.com. That's BeyondProof.com. See you next time.